Welcome to this edition of Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson.
What Jesus is promising is that I'm going to send you somebody who is just exactly like me. Another of the same kind. Now, why is that important to know? It's important to know because there's been a lot of confusion over the ministry of the Holy Spirit, over the activity of the Holy Spirit.
Today on Back to Basics, Pastor Brian continues his study in the Gospel of John. Join us as Pastor Brian begins his teaching on John chapters 14 through 16 in a message titled, Ministry of the Holy Spirit. Now, here's Pastor Brian.
John's Gospel, and I want you to turn with me to chapter 14. And you remember as we approach these chapters here, chapters 14 through 16, initially I talked to you about how these chapters are that intimate conversation that Jesus was having with his disciples, those men who had followed him closely and would ultimately be sent out with the gospel into the world. And it's here in these chapters that Jesus introduces them really to the person and the work of the Holy Spirit. And that is all because Jesus is going to depart. Now, they hadn't really understood that that was going to happen. And in these chapters, he's breaking the news to them. But as he's breaking the news of his departure, of his return back to the Father, he's also letting them know that the Holy Spirit is going to come and basically take up the work that Jesus began. And so all through chapters 14, 15, and 16, we saw different points where Jesus would speak about the Holy Spirit. And as I told you, I wanted to come back and sort of put that all together in one study. And so we're going to look at the ministry of the Holy Spirit as Jesus described it here in these chapters 14, 15, and 16. Now, the Holy Spirit, of course, is God along with the Father and the Son. The Holy Spirit has chosen to be the one person within the divine nature who sort of is in the background. The Holy Spirit's ministry is not one where he's real up front, but he's in the background. He's serving the Father and he's glorifying the Son. And that's an important thing to understand because there are many today who have a distorted view of the person and the work of the Holy Spirit. And they have meetings that are basically Holy Spirit meetings. And there they call upon the Holy Spirit and there they seek to, you know, ostensibly glorify the Holy Spirit. But yet the Holy Spirit's role is not really to glorify himself. It's to glorify Christ. And if we have that as a foundational understanding, that'll help us to be able to discern when the Holy Spirit is really at work and when something else is happening. Now, in verse 16 of chapter 14, this is where Jesus first introduces to them this promise of the Spirit's coming. And he says in verse 16, he says, I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. So again, Jesus is telling them, I'm going to be leaving. And they did not understand that. They had come to believe that Jesus was the Messiah. And of course, the scriptures had taught that the Messiah would set up an everlasting kingdom. So how could Jesus be talking about leaving? What is that all about? Well, they didn't understand the two comings of the Messiah. They didn't understand his initial coming was to redeem man from sin, and then he would depart, and there would be a great harvest of souls that would come in, and then he would return again to set up God's everlasting kingdom. They didn't understand that at all. And so Jesus is breaking this news to them, and as you can imagine, their hearts are troubled, and we looked at that back in the first verse of chapter 14. They're troubled by all of this, but Jesus tells them, I'm going to send you, or I'm going to pray the Father, and he's going to send you another helper or another comforter. The Greek word is parakletos, and that's made up of two words that mean to come alongside. Para means to come alongside, and kletos means to assist, to aid, to help, to comfort even. And so Jesus says, I'm going to send you the parakletos, the one who comes alongside to help. But I want you to notice what he says. He says, I'm going to give you another helper. And this word is so vitally important to our understanding, this word another, because it means another of the same kind. So what Jesus is promising is that I'm going to send you somebody who is just exactly like me. Another of the same kind. Now, why is that important to know? It's important to know because there's been a lot of confusion over the ministry of the Holy Spirit, over the activity of the Holy Spirit, over the kinds of things that the Holy Spirit does or things that perhaps he wouldn't do. And here is just a basic rule of thumb where, again, you can get a pretty good sense of where the Holy Spirit is truly moving. Whatever the Holy Spirit does is going to be just like what Jesus did or would do. So to know what the Holy Spirit does, we simply go back in the Gospels and we read about the ministry of Jesus, and then we understand the ministry of the Holy Spirit because he is coming to do the same things Jesus was doing. He's basically, as I said, he's coming to take up the ministry where Jesus leaves off because Jesus is going back to heaven. Now, what's the distinction why did the Holy Spirit have to come rather than Jesus stay and just carry on his work himself? This is the reason. Jesus came in a human body. And because of that human body, he was limited. He was limited to location. His activity was limited because of his humanity. The Holy Spirit doesn't have that limitation. So the ministry of the Holy Spirit is actually greater than the ministry of Jesus in that it's able to go far beyond one particular location. Jesus could only minister really in a particular location. Now, he was able, of course, to heal people at a distance and things like that. But Jesus, because of his physical limitation, he couldn't be in two places at once. He couldn't be everywhere at once. You know, we're gathered here tonight, and the Lord is with us. We trust that his presence is here among us. But there are other people gathering together in other places of the world, and they have that exact same confidence that the Lord is with them. Now, how can that be? It's through the person of the Holy Spirit, because he doesn't have that limitation. But let's think about this for a moment. Another helper just like me. So what do we see Jesus doing? Well, we see Jesus blessing people. We see Jesus ministering. We see him comforting. We see him healing. We see him providing, protecting. We see him doing all kinds of wonderful things. That's what the Holy Spirit does. He comes along and he just continues that work of Jesus. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Jesus Christ. And he does the things that Jesus did. I will send you another helper just like me. So here's how we know the Holy Spirit is present. When we sense the presence of Christ, when we feel the love of Christ and that warmth of Christ and that compassion of Christ and that concern of Christ and all of those things, that's how we know the Spirit is really moving in a service. So I will send you another helper. And you don't have to be afraid because he's going to be just like me. You know, when I was a kid, there was a church on the corner of the street that I lived on. And my friends and I, we would occasionally visit the church down on the corner. And I have to confess, we did it strictly for entertainment purposes. And I'll tell you, it was entertaining. It was a little bit scary, too. I remember I was probably 10 or 11 years old, and I'd go in there, and boy, they'd start, you know, going off in what they said was tongues, and people would be running around and doing all kinds of things, and, you know, we'd get to laughing. It wasn't holy laughter. And we'd have to run out of the place, and we'd get chased out quite often as well. But, you know, I remember walking out there thinking, that was weird. That was scary. That was freaky. Did not in any way, shape, or form draw me to the Lord or make me want to inquire about the Lord. It really made me want to just stay away from that place. And there's just been so much of that, sadly, that has turned people off. And then what happens is people see that and they say, you know, that's not the Holy Spirit. And then they go to an extreme and say, there is no ministry of the Holy Spirit for today. That passed. And so we shouldn't look for any of that, you know, supernatural kind of activity. We shouldn't be looking for the gifts or anything like that. That's all from another age. And we don't have any of that today. And that's another extreme. And that's not right either. We have to come to the biblical balance. There is a present-day ministry of the Holy Spirit. There is the power of the Holy Spirit. There are the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We're going to talk about that in our next study. But as Paul would go to great lengths to tell us, he said, all these things must be done decently and in order. And he said, the spirit of the prophets are subject to the prophets. In other words, people aren't just taken over by the Holy Spirit and, you know, uncontrollably then going into these kinds of things. Some people have been afraid, oh, I don't know, I don't really want to have an experience with the Holy Spirit because I don't want to lose control. The Holy Spirit will take control of me and I'll do some bizarre thing. No, that's not what happens. Because the spirit of the prophets are subject to the prophets. God does not take us over to the point where we lose control. He lets us maintain control. But we'll talk about that when we get to the gifts. But going back here to the promise of Jesus, he said that he would give another helper and that he would abide with you forever. So Jesus is going to leave, but he gives the assurance, the Spirit, when he comes, he will remain with you permanently. He will never leave. And so the same Holy Spirit that was poured out on the apostles 2,000 years ago, that same Holy Spirit is with us tonight. He's still with us, and he will be with us until the end of the age. Remember, Jesus said, go into the world, make disciples of all nations, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. He was talking about his presence being with us through the person of the Holy Spirit. Now, he also here refers to the Holy Spirit as the Spirit of truth. And this is vitally important. What does this tell us? It tells us that where the Holy Spirit is truly at work, truth will prevail. Truth will be prominent. Truth will be the foundation of everything that's going on. So again, when you have ministries that are led into deception and promoting deception, doesn't matter what kind of spiritual activity might be going on or how supernatural the atmosphere might seem to be, this is what you can know. This is not the Spirit of God. You see, the reality is, demons, they will come and they will seek to bring a false experience to people and have people think that it's the Holy Spirit. Satan is an imitator. He's a counterfeiter. And so there's a Holy Spirit, there's going to be an evil spirit. And God will work through the Holy Spirit, and the devil will bring along the evil spirits and try to imitate what God is doing. But it's not holy, it's not pure, it's not based on truth, it's not righteous, it doesn't promote Jesus Christ and bring glory to Him. He is the Spirit of truth. And this is why He blesses and honors those who gather around His Word, because the Word is His truth. And so the Holy Spirit works in conjunction with His Word, the Word of truth. But the world cannot see Him, because it neither sees Him or knows Him, but you know Him. And Jesus said to them, "For He dwells with you and will be in you." Now you see, at that time, the Holy Spirit had not yet indwelt them, because Jesus was not yet glorified. So the Holy Spirit was with them at this point. He was alongside of them. Now, since Jesus died, rose again, and ascended, and since the Spirit was poured out on the day of Pentecost, that experience of the Holy Spirit being with us is no longer really the case, except in the sense that the Holy Spirit is with us when convicting us and leading us to Christ. But Jesus isn't talking about that in this particular situation here. He's talking about the fact that the Holy Spirit is with them, alongside them, even helping them at that time. Because remember, they went out to share the gospel, they went out to heal the sick, to cleanse the lepers, to do all the things that Jesus was doing, and they were doing that by the ministry of the Holy Spirit, who was with them, alongside of them. But once Jesus died, rose again, and ascended into heaven, the Holy Spirit was then sent. And actually, once He died and rose again, the Spirit came in the indwelling sense. He said, "The Spirit is with you, and He will be in you." And we read in John chapter 20 of how Jesus, after He was resurrected, He met with His disciples in that upper room. And maybe you remember, it says that He breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." And it was at that moment that the Holy Spirit took up residence in them. The Holy Spirit began to indwell them. It was at that moment that they were born of the Spirit. Now, of course, they're walking through this historical situation. We have come along much farther down the road. So for us, the moment we receive Jesus Christ, the Spirit comes and dwells within us. He shall be in you. Every person who is a believer in Jesus Christ has the Holy Spirit dwelling in him or her. If you don't have the Holy Spirit dwelling in you, then you're not a child of God. You're not a Christian in the biblical sense. Because everyone who receives Christ has the Spirit dwelling in them. So the Holy Spirit indwells us. He comes and takes up residence within us. Now, over in verse 26 of this same chapter, Jesus tells us more about the ministry of the Spirit. He says, "These things I have spoken to you," verse 25, "while being present with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. So here's another facet of the work of the Holy Spirit. He will, first of all, teach you all things. It's the Holy Spirit who is our teacher, really. The reason I can teach and the reason you can learn is because of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. You see, the natural man, according to Paul, does not receive the things of the Spirit. He can't even really know them. They're foolishness to him. And maybe you remember a time in your life when the things of the Spirit seemed foolish to you. None of this stuff made any sense. You didn't know the significance of Jesus Christ. You couldn't understand the gospel. And you would hear this stuff, and it just seemed like it went in one ear and out the other, and there just seemed to be a sort of a shroud of darkness over your mind when it came to understanding these things. But something happened. You came to that moment where you cried out to the Lord and you received Christ, and all of a sudden it was like the lights went on, and then you began to read the Bible and it made sense to you. And it all became so clear, or maybe it's all becoming so clear. And you're thinking, how could I have missed this before? How come I didn't see this? Why wasn't I able to grasp it? Because you didn't have the Spirit dwelling in you. But now that the Spirit is in you, the Spirit is teaching you. He's opened your understanding. He's revealing these things to you. And now it's all making sense. It's all becoming clearer and clearer. So he teaches us all things. And Jesus said he will bring to your remembrance all things that I've said to you. Now, we have this experience. I think, again, right here, Jesus is telling the apostles something specifically. But we have that same kind of experience. The Holy Spirit would come and teach them all of the significance of the death and the resurrection of Christ and all of those things that they really didn't understand at the time. And they would understand it later through the ministry of the Holy Spirit, and then they would write it out in the pages of the New Testament. But the Holy Spirit would also bring to the remembrance of the apostles the words of Jesus and those things that he did while they would be penning those things. And so we read about the scriptures, that the scriptures are God-breathed. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. Literally, the translation is they are God-breathed. So God's breathing upon these men, and the Spirit is bringing to their remembrance the things that Jesus said, the details of all of those things that transpired and all of the things that he said. But we have something that is similar. We find the Holy Spirit teaching us, but we also find the Holy Spirit bringing things to our remembrance, don't we? How many of you have had those times when you're in a conversation with somebody, or you're sharing the Lord with somebody, and this information is just coming to your mind, and you're telling people things that you're thinking, wow, I didn't know I knew that. That is great.
Let's take a quick break and listen to what Pastor Brian and his wife Cheryl are saying about this month's resource on Back to Basics.
Hey, Brian, what's that book you're reading?
Cheryl, this book is called Doctrine for Difficult Days, and it's by J. Vernon McGee.
I love J. Vernon McGee.
Yes.
He's got that down-home style that just makes you feel like you're his beloved friend.
Yep, a down-home style, but J. Vernon McGee was
brilliant
mm-hmm. and he was quite a Bible scholar himself.
Yes,
and
he
so
was.
He's written this book, Important Theology Made Simple. It's easy to read and understand.
So you'd pretty much recommend this to any believer.
Yeah, I do. I love reading books on doctrine, but I wouldn't recommend all of them because, you know, some of them mm-hmm. are a little too complex and too much theological jargon. You're not going to get that with J. Vernon McGee. It's going to be just straightforward.
Thanks, Pastor Brian and Cheryl, for sharing about this month's resource. You can order the book, Doctrine for Difficult Days, Important Theology Made Simple by J. Vernon McGee by going to our website, backtobasicsradio.com. Scroll down until you see the photo of it, and then click on the Donate button. When you give a gift to Back to Basics, we'll send you this book by J. Vernon McGee that addresses biblical teaching on major doctrines in Scripture. It's our way of saying thank you for your generous support of this ministry. We'd also like to remind you that all of our other resources are waiting for you at backtobasicsradio.com or by calling our request line at 1-800-733-6443. That's 1-800-733-6443. Our desire is to encourage you in your daily walk with God. We'll continue tomorrow with more valuable insights from Pastor Brian as we study together in the Gospel of John. Back to Basics is the preaching and teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California.